Let's check in with Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine. Hello, Joe. I was just reading about that dam that was destroyed by the Russians and how it was once a beautiful, gorgeous place for people to bring their kids and play. Men fished there. Couples walked around under pine trees. And now there's no drinking water, no irrigation for farms. It's just a big mess. And, you know, we talk about these missile attacks, and the residual damage there is really depressing. And you kind of wonder how long it will take to rebuild Ukraine when this war finally ends.
Yeah, indeed, Bob, and good afternoon from Lviv. That dam, that reservoir, the Kakhovka reservoir. I last summer, two Julys ago, I spoke to you from the banks of that reservoir, and we could see the Russian occupied portions of Ukraine across the water. But I was there, for one afternoon in Nikopol with musicians from the United States and volunteers, and we had a little festival for local refugees and soldiers. Sort of like hobbits dancing in the shadow of Mordor, and it was a beautiful spot. And there was even a little inlet where kids were able to use the kayaks that was protected from the water mines, the sea mines. But now from Nikopol, it looks like a desert. That vast body of water is but a narrow series of streams. And indeed, I mean the ecological impact, the people who are still without water, and this was back in June. The impact is enormous. Many people lost their lives. It also caused a huge problem because it moved a lot of mines. And so the mines ended up in flooded areas, and they've destroyed precious nature, and some of the most fertile land in the world has been affected. But we have to remember that that dam was also built by the Soviets, and so when they first built those dams in the 1920s and 30s, they didn't care about Ukrainian life and the lives of the native Cossacks there. And so even in the building of those dams, they flooded people. And so there's this history of Russian destruction time and time again. And it's important that people still remember what happened with the Russians attacking that dam. I mean, anyone that would be so reckless with something that, you can't control. You can't control the environmental effects of that 5-10 years down the road. This shows exactly the type of enemy we're dealing with. And once again, we had another night. I feel like we just are repeating ourselves here because that's what Russia is doing. But once again, Russians attacked that region of Bessarabia and Odessa. I mean, I feel like I'm in a strange dream to have to repeat it because it's been, I think, four nights in a row now. Hmm. They are pounding Ukraine's river ports on the Danube, doing everything they can to make sure that Ukraine will have no ability to access the sea. And so this is, again, Russian terrorism. We also had this morning President Zelensky's hometown of Kryvyi Rih. That's the longest city, one of the longest cities in the world. It's like 120 miles long. Very interesting place. The Russians bombed it this morning. They hit a police station. At least one is dead. Many are injured. They also hit the northeastern city of Sumy, and they hit the southern city, the great Cossack city of Zaporizhia. And so this is continuing. Meanwhile, here, especially in Western Ukraine, today is a holiday. Always they keep celebrating their holidays. Today marks the birth of the Mother of God. And as you walk around Lviv, you see people dressed in the traditional Veshivanka, the embroidered linens, still keeping up with their traditions. And, I was talking with some friends yesterday, my friend and his wife. They're from Eastern Ukraine, and they were in Lviv because they had been in Europe for a couple weeks. And, it's very hard for men between, I think it's ages of 20 and 60 to leave Ukraine because of the martial law. It's a necessity of a country at war. But it is possible if you have, good business or humanitarian reasons to do so. And my friend was going around Europe to raise money. And he was telling me about when 2 weeks ago when he crossed that border and left Ukraine, for the first time since February 24th, 2022. He said he and his wife, they just started laughing. They had this unbelievable feeling of freedom, like a type of high, just feeling totally free, knowing that they could do whatever they wanted. They no longer had restrictions. They didn't have to worry about missiles coming down from the sky. They're from the city of Kharkiv that has been hit so horribly and so often. And they had, they had a life without curfews. And just those first few moments, they tasted this incredible sense of freedom, probably something that those around them in Poland, you know, probably can't quite appreciate, certainly can't appreciate in the same way. And my friend said that the next day he was on they were having a coffee on the square, the main square in Krakow. And he just started, he said he doesn't know what triggered it. He just started crying. He said he was sobbing for 20 minutes. And he said this is, you know, he hadn't cried at all the, you know, first 19 months while he was in Ukraine and Russia's full scale invasion. But there was just, you know, you realize all the emotions that are contained. And when you finally have a chance to step away, how, you know, I guess that's part of how the body's trying to heal, the mind's trying to heal. You break down and cry. And then he said after crying, his next emotion, he looked around him. And as he traveled through Europe and saw people living their normal lives, you know, families and friends working, playing, living together. And he had this new type of rage, just absolute anger at the Russians, because remembering what life used to be like in Ukraine before February 24th, 2022. And then the last sort of emotion of this journey, he said, you know, that strange feeling of coming back, you know, knowing that if you really wanted to, once you cross that border, you could make a run for it, you know, and just forget about this. And as you're getting closer to the border, you know, just imagine, you know, willingly going back into the war zone, knowing you're going to lose that sense of freedom. And you feel like this sort of like this magnet pulling you back, and time is speeding up. And it feels like that, you know, those days in Europe were just kind of like a dream, you know, even though it was just like a short nap, a short dream. And but realizing this is your duty. This is what, you know, you have, you know, it's even, you know, if you want to be happy, you have to fight with your countrymen and stand for freedom. And so, you know, for me, because I haven't left Ukraine, you know, I've been here every single moment. It's always interesting to hear about the emotions when people cross that border and when they come back.
Amazing how people continue to return to the war. And also incredible that the people there can still celebrate a holiday while all this tragedy is around them.
Yeah, you know, and that's was observed by the great British comedian, historian, writer, philosopher, Stephen Fry. He was in Kyiv the past few days. And, you know, he's always a brilliant commentator, very wry commentator on life. And he said when he came to Ukraine, he said the thing that amazed him the most is how people could, you know, the laughter, you know, even people who are missing arms and legs. That everywhere he went, there was a spirit of people being able to laugh, and he said, you know, he didn't expect, he had a lot of things he expected when he was coming into a war zone, that was the last thing he expected, I'd encourage you all, if you go to Instagram, you can go to Stephen Fry actually, and follow his he did a nice series of commentaries on his travel throughout Ukraine, but the main thing is this. That people can laugh, and I think that's a sign of resilience. But even as I was speaking with another volunteer yesterday, there was a group of people from that frontline kitchen, and people from all over the world. In fact, one of them told me recently there was a gathering of 30 foreigners from 25 different nationalities. And whenever I see this, it's very encouraging. You know that, you know, these people, they seem regular, but they're all superheroes for being here. This is really, you see the best of humanity showing up here. But there was a volunteer from Cincinnati, and he was about to return back to the States, and he commented on, you know, even when you see people laughing, when you look in their eyes, that's where you see the hell and the heaviness of war. You know, that doesn't go away.
Joseph, thank you again for giving us such a personal insight into how it feels to be there. Superheroes is right for sure. I can hear a bit of weariness even in your voice, so I hope you have a chance for a little R&R this weekend, and we'll talk on Monday.
Thank you, Bob. Yeah, so do I. Until Monday. Thanks.